Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
How's everybody doing? The people who are sitting at the front rows got the best seat because they can really stretch their legs. And I don't know why there seems to be like a partition over here, like a Red Sea partition. And the worst partition is, I think, right at the back. There's even a yellow rope over there and people sitting over there. I don't know why. But thank you for coming. And just a question. How many of you love Jesus here? Very quiet. Just the hands go up. How many of you really love Jesus here? Yeah, something like that. You know, I'm in a youth church. I expect more noises. Really, how many of you really love Jesus? You know, when you say that you love Jesus, Jesus has a very simple command. He just says this. If you love me, whatever I say, you will do. Right? If you love Jesus, you will follow Jesus. And what you will do? You will obey Him. Very simple message. Basically, tonight, this is my message. Very simple. Yeah. But I also want to share that, you know, during the time of worship, wow, I was so excited to see people around here. So I thought, wow, when I preach, I can be a little bit like Jesus, you know. No, usually He preached that kind of, you know, the people are so close. Now I feel so far from you, you know. So if y'all would like to move to the front, please do so. But I just want to share with you about worship and entering into the presence of God. This is just my personal thing that I've gone through. It's not part of the preaching thing. You know, when I came to the Lord, I just love entering into the presence of God. And I found that actually the thing about entering presence of God, singing and worshiping is actually the best and the fastest to me, is the quickest way of entering into His presence. To some of y'all may be just reading the Word. To some of y'all will be just sleeping. I don't know. Yeah, there are some people says they sleep, they feel the presence of God. Probably they dreams, I don't know. But to me, it is, you know, I just enter into the presence of God with worship. And there was once, I remember, while I was worshiping and I was, you know, usually, when you worship, God would usually kind of just come in and talk to you, right? And I had these thoughts of words that just come into me, you know, that come to my mind. And the words, very simple words. And it says that, Dick, you are so, you know, enjoying yourself in my worship, in my presence, my fellowshipping, you know, with you. You know, all these words that come to me. But there are still many who have not even heard of me. And of course, when I heard that, I cried out. Then I began to say, okay, God, okay. I think, you know, I want to be a missionary. Yeah. So that was part one, later part two. Hey, by the way, this is my first time using this, and I feel like something sticking out of my ear. You know, it was so funny. Just now I was worshiping. I thought, hey, a fly or something. I went to flick it. Oh, it was the mic. Okay. All right. Now we are going to the slides. Okay. The first slide, which is in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Can we have that up? Okay. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to get all of us to stand up because we are going to read the scriptures. Okay. Is it fine with y'all? Young blood, is it fine with y'all? Yeah, but when I see y'all get up, I think my grandma will, no lah, okay? And I want to ask y'all this, okay? Every time after y'all read a scripture, I'm going to ask y'all this question. Have you all heard of this? Or I would say, how many of y'all have never heard of this scripture or have never read? Okay, let's read the first one. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Read together with me. And He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel of the whole creation. Who has never heard of this scripture? Oh, a few, huh? One, two. One person right at the back. Okay, all right. Next. Romans 10, 14 to 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Anyone have never heard of this? One, two, what? Quite a few. Two, four, five. Woo! I'm going to repeat my question again. How many of you have not heard of this scripture? Wow. Quite a few again. Okay, next one. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I keep seeing actually the same old hands that goes up. Okay, we know what to do with you. Never mind. Next one. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. Bro, good man, you keep on putting up your hands. Come to my discipleship group, okay? Alright. I'll make sure you become a missionary after a month. Okay, now you all may be seated. Okay, anyway, thanks for the honesty for those who have lifted up their hands. Now, why I'm asking those of you who have not lifted up their hands, the reason is because actually, in this group, actually, only a very few of you have never heard. Which means that, actually, these scriptures are so common, right? It is so common. Like, if you go to any mission conferences, these are those scriptures that they use it very commonly. You know? And if you say that you have heard these scriptures before, basically, in your heart, you are saying this. That, number one, I believe that God wants me to go to all the world. All over the world to preach the gospel. Yeah, because it's a command. And also I believe that, you know, if I want to go, there must be someone to send me. Amen? Is that what are you agreeing for those who didn't lift up your hands? Right? Are you interpreting the scripture same as me? Correct, right? Correct, right? Ah, wow. Okay. Interact a bit with me. I feel very lonely up here. Otherwise, before I continue, I got to ask Pastor Peter to come and lay hands on me. Okay. And then you also agree that the word of the gospel needs to go to all the nations, then the end will come. The end will come is not like last days of the last days. The end will come. Basically, your soul means that Jesus will come back again. And also, you believe that in Revelation, you believe that when we go out to these nations, when we do our part, when we go out to the nations, what God did is that He will begin to draw the people of all nations. In Revelation, it says, so our part is just to obey, go to the nations, and God will do the rest. And God confirms it, yeah? And God says that, look, at the throne of the Lamb, all nations will be represented. And not only all nations, all tribes and all languages. So you get people like Kung Fu Yang, praising the Lord up there. You know, all that kind of thing. All over there. Except there's one language won't be represented there. Who knows that? Who knows that? If you know that, I will buy you dinner. There's one language will not be represented in heaven. Who knows? I actually got this revelation just only today, so it's fresh from the oven. The language that won't be represented is this one, the sign language. Because the mute will talk, the deaf will begin to hear. Amen? Hallelujah. I was reading that saying, oh yeah, all languages are, yeah, but except one. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. Yeah. So, Pastor Danny Ching, you were telling, hey, Pastor Danny Ching, no need all this lah. Okay, alright. Firstly, before I continue again and get excited, just want to thank Pastor Peter and Pastor Tina for allowing me to just share the word with you all today. Okay? Yeah. So, my question is this, why? Why? Yeah, why? Can you show the why? Why people are not going out? See, why? Why is Simone? I'm also practicing my Chinese now. Yeah, next month I'm going to Taipei. Oh, so why? Why people are not going out? And I was thinking, why God, why the church, we talk so much about these scriptures. You know, we get people excited, we get them rah, 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 here, 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 there, there, and but then nobody going out. And then I was thinking about my own story, you see. My own story is this. At age 83, what at age 83? Sorry. In year 1983, yeah, in year 1983, I was 21 years old, so now I'm 54 lah. Yeah, okay, if you want to count. In year, H83, stupid. Okay, in year 83, I came to the Lord, born again believer. So I was in, down the road, there's this church called, Faith Methodist Church. Yeah, you know, right? Yeah. So I was there. So of course they invited me to this fellowship. They call it the Methodist Youth Fellowship or something, nah. Then they had this guy, you know, Chinese guy. They invited him. He was a missionary with the tribal missions. You know tribal missions, right? Tribal missions. You know, right? You know, how, yeah. So apparently he was in Papua New Guinea or what? I can't remember. But all I remember was this. Wow, I was so excited over all the adventures. That time, of course, I was 21. I got huge muscles, you know. I was super fit, you know, the kind of thing. And I don't go gym, guys. I don't go gym. But, you know, I'm super cool, you know, the kind of thing. So when I hear about all these adventures, I say, wow, this is it, man. I want to be a missionary. Wow, and I'm those kind of guy who love camping. So, wow, stay under tent. Wow, look at the starry skies. Wow, this is it. This is it. So I went after the service and the fellowship ended. I went up. So I asked some questions. The more questions I asked, the more I felt that, well, this probably they are thinking, what's this guy talking about? You know, because they know that this guy. And that time I was a new Christian, don't know much about the Bible. Well, I want to be missionary, so they can't look at me up and down. The answer is, okay, God, I know one thing. I'm not for the mission field. You know, so what happened was, so that was early 83. In end 1983, I joined Church of Our Savior. I came to Church of Our Savior. Yo, so Church of Our Savior, very interesting. So which means I'm here already more than 30 years. Yo, so old already. Scary, man. Yeah. So I was, you know, so what happened was, end 1983, I came to Church of Savior, 84 I was baptized, 85 I was confirmed. And then that time our mission pastor was the late Betty Koo. How many of y'all know the late Betty Koo? Of course the front seaters now here, I don't expect y'all to know, probably the people. Alex would know, Alex, he does this already. Okay, so anyway, so I told us the late Betty Koo, I said, Pastor Betty, last time, when we go and talk to Pastor, very scary one, no. Really, very scary. And even last time when Derek Hong, our pastor, right, when he, I used to be in the worship band. So sometimes when he can't stare at us like this, oh, what did I do wrong? What quickly? Very scary one. No. So, okay, anyway, cut short. So I went to see, Pastor Betty Koo. So I told Pastor Betty, remember I told y'all that I had this thing about encounter with the Lord? So I told Betty that, Pastor Betty, I kind of feel that maybe I would like to be a missionary. Well, of course she's excited. But the next question she asked me, so which country you want to go? So no, I was thinking, but God didn't tell me any country. Right? So how? So I said, no country. Just thought of being a missionary. Oh, so she said, okay, now you pray again. So I've been praying for years until now. God still didn't give me any country. But after that meeting, I told myself, God, that is double confirmation really. I'm not supposed to be in the mission field. You know? How many of you feel this way also? Or am I the weird one who have this kind of encounter with, you know, wanting to do something and doors not open? Anyone of you? No? Wow. God is very sparing with, wow, brother. I feel like hugging you now, man. I know what it feels, no, really. Yeah, so I say to myself, no, Lord, no more of these mission things. Okay? And I think God has His own way of, you know, directing each one of us in our lives. Yeah? However, I got a lot of, a few prophets came to me and they spoke words of prophecy to me. And they'll keep on saying, hey, Dick, I see you as someone who goes in and out of nations a lot. Even from Bill Hayman's school, they came. So now you know why I do all these short-term trips. So maybe that's how God works in me. But today I want to tell you this. You know, during our time, or during my time, what is it? Someone said something? Okay, during my time, you know, sometimes when you want to talk to missions, you can't find people who really understand you. But I want to tell you today that if you have the slightest tinge of saying that, hey, I don't mind, you know, actually missions, or you're thinking about missions, I tell you, Church of Our Savior is the place for you to start. Clap a bit, yeah. I'm from the missions department, so must clap a bit, yeah. Okay, why is that? Because we have this SMS program. You all know what is SMS, right? Huh? Don't go and text now. But you all know what is SMS, right? Yeah, okay. So basically, we have this SMS program that really guides you. Now, if right now, if you come to me and says, Brother Dick, you can call me Brother Dick, I'm fine, yeah? You say, Brother Dick, I want to be a missionary, but I don't know where to go, what to do. You know, you have someone who will able to sit down with you and talk to you and guide you and share with you and slowly bring you up to be a missionary. You know what I mean? But during my time, we don't have. And I'll tell you why it's good to join the SMS program. I'm thinking, why? Number one, you are trained. Okay, you are trained. Number two, you are being endorsed by the church. Wow, endorsement chopped down there. Number three. I'm thinking, because I'm getting younger, you're trained, you're endorsed. You're being sent out. That's very important. Right? And number four is that when you are sent out, you are being tested. And I tell you, in our Japan team, the Osaka team people, when they go through that, they pass with flying colors because we send our best. And the best is in this room. I say the best is in this room. Don't clap like this. This is not the way to clap. When I say the best is this room, I want you to do this. Okay? The best is in this room. All right. That's you. Okay? Yeah. So if you So Church of Our Savior is so good. No, we kind of developed you to be a missionary. In my time, when Pastor Betty says, oh, you go and pray, that's it. And I lose hope of everything about missions. Okay? And of course, the second reason. Oh, the first one is, well, don't know how, lah. Don't know how to do it. Okay, the next slide. Who, me? I think a lot of us ask that question, right? Actually, when I wrote this thing, I just put who, me, and then the rhyme keeps coming. You know, do you all have this thing where it says, who stole the cookie from the cookie jar one? Then let's say, Tina stole the cookie from the cookie jar. Then she will say, who, me? Then I will say, yes, you. Then I say, couldn't be. Then I say, then who? Same. This is the same thing. You see? Now, so I'm going to say this to you. I think, in this room, there are lots of missionaries, man. I can see all the faces. Yes, you! Then who? Okay, one more time. You're not so good, lah. Hey, this place, there's a lot of missionaries here. I can see through their faces. Yes, you! Then who? Now, why I say in this room there are many missionaries. Number one, how many of you are disciples of Jesus? Woo, woo, come on, more hands. Disciples of Jesus, wow. That's wonderful. And now you know why I say that it is you. Because if you read the scripture, Jesus only sent the disciples out. Now, Jesus don't call any Tom, Dick, or Harry to go to the mission fields. No. No. I repeat again, no. Jesus only sent the disciples. Serious, I'm serious. So those of you who have put up your hands, you are super, super, super qualified. Yeah? Jesus sends out. Oh, thanks, bro. Yeah, you are super qualified. Really? No, this is no laughing matter. Really, no. If you seriously live as a disciple, Jesus will send you up. Jesus will send you up. Jesus will not send the multitudes. You know, in Jesus' ministry, there are two groups of people, right? They have the multitudes, and also they have the disciples. And the disciples are who? Amen. Yeah? So you have two groups of people. What's the difference? What's the difference between the disciples and the multitudes? You know, basically, it's very simple. The disciples are the ones who got into the boat with Jesus. The multitudes are on the land. The disciples are the ones who are in the boat with Jesus, and there are storms outside, but Jesus is with them. To me, that's the greatest thing. Who are the disciples? The disciples are those who follow Jesus. And they follow Jesus 24/7. They follow Jesus 24/7. You know, in Jesus' time, the discipleship things goes this way. A rabbi will look at someone potential. Yeah. And then he will pick that person out. Come, you follow me. That's what Jesus did, no? He walks on the beach, then starts calling people. Yeah. And when they follow, it means follow 24/7. And it is an honor to be picked by a rabbi to follow. So when Jesus called you as a disciple, it is an honor. A lot of us, disciple. Disciple means comes from the word discipline. Oh, you're disciplined. Oh, I never like discipline. Yeah? But that's Jesus' way. He only calls the disciples. He will not call the multitudes. The multitudes are the one whom I call them as entertain me. You know? They would go up to Jesus and they would say, Jesus, entertain me. Some miracles. Wow, Jesus. Break the bread, 2 fishes. Wow, Jesus. They are all going for all this wow thing. Yeah? They are going to all this easy road. So how many disciples we have here again? Wow. I hope there are more hands up. Those who are hands not up means you're not ready. Or you're not what? I don't know. But if your hands not up, maybe I would say this. How many of you really desire to follow Jesus? Now, when I say the word disciple, I don't expect you to be so perfect, following every command of the Jesus so clean, you know, that you got no problem at all. Yeah. Basically, a disciple is a long life, is it? A lifelong. I'm hungry. I know why I'm hungry. That's right. Yeah. So anyway, it's a lifelong process learning from the teacher. So it is okay to make mistakes. So I'm going to ask the question again. How many of you are disciples? Ah, now it's much better. Because if you're not disciples, I don't know how to continue with my sermon now, because it's actually meant for disciples. Okay, but, so we have differentiated what is the disciples and multitudes, yeah? And sometimes you wonder why Jesus called the disciples. I quickly read that, Matthew 28. Jesus says that, you know, the Great Commission, everybody is so familiar with. It says here, and Jesus came and said to them, who are the them? In the verse 16, you see the them are the 11 disciples. Okay? And he gave them authority in heaven. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, you begin to understand why Jesus called disciples. You get it not? Because, number one, only disciples can make disciples. Only disciples can teach the commandments of Jesus. Right. You don't ask any Tom, Dick, and Harry, right, and go out and try to disciple someone to be like Jesus when he or she is not a disciple. Right. If you have such a bad flaws in you, you know, you swear and curse everywhere you go. Imagine the kind of disciples you get. Also curse and swear. But if you continue to walk in the ways of the Lord, I can tell you, the disciples that follow you will be that kind of qualities. So you know why Jesus called the disciples and not the multitudes. I know, because why I need to tell you this point is because if you go to a lot of conferences and missions conference, they just get everybody rah-rah, show a lot of pictures and stuff like this. Oh, everybody gets so excited. I want to sign up. So if you really ask me, if I want to choose a missionary here, firstly, I will see the person, is he or she a disciple? That's my first thing that I would go for. If the person is a disciple, no problem. But if the person is not a disciple, then you got to train the person to rethink and to change the lifestyle. Okay? So excited now. So are you excited now that you are called to go and preach the gospel? Yeah? I only hear Peter and Tina. And I'm quite fearful. The reason is because if Peter and Tina leave, I don't know who will be your next pastors here. Yeah. But you all know what I'm saying, right? So discipleship is the foundation of every mission's calling. Yeah? Which is why I have this definition. My definition for missionary is this. Very simple. A disciple in missions. If you are a disciple in missions, you pass. You're already a missionary. Yeah? You know, and all of us, very simple. If let's say, if I'm Jesus, between the disciples and multitudes, whom I will send? I will send the multitudes. Why? Because there are thousands of them and get the job done quickly. But then Jesus is so wise. If I will send the multitudes, I get the kind of quality. What kind of quality? Multitudes kind of quality. Right? If you send durians, and what if you send durians? If you plant durian seeds, you get what? Durians, right? You won't get apples, right? Yeah, unless they kind of, crossbreed or whatever you call that. Yeah? Okay? Now, to further emphasize this, I really want to emphasize this about discipleship is in Matthew chapter 10. Do you have the verse, do you have the scriptures, John? I'm not so sure. Matthew 10, verse 1 to 5. If don't have, I'll just read. It is okay. It's okay, John. I'll just read. Yeah? In these five verses, Jesus emphasized the disciples thing, or the writer emphasized it so strongly. Okay. For example, I tell you. Okay. Verse 1, he says, and he called to him his 12 disciples. Say 12 disciples. And gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles. Say 12 apostles. Okay, so the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then verse 5 says again, these 12 Jesus sent out. So in 5 verses, you get this 12 thing of his disciples, and one is talk about the apostles, what, 3 or 4 times. You know, and I don't think the writer, the author of, who wrote Matthew, the Matthew himself, you know, is so purposely, you know, he has a reason for naming all this and all the disciples. Yeah. So, which is why I really, really, really believe, that there must be a purpose why Jesus sent 12 disciples. Okay. And some of y'all, you know, will think that, okay, does that mean that I'm out? Like I say, you know, if you are a disciple and you really pursue after God, you are never, never out. Every one of you are very potential. And I say what? A disciple will follow Jesus. And the job description, one of the job description of Jesus, he's actually a missionary. Did you ever thought about that? That Jesus is a missionary or was a missionary? Because he was sent by his Father. So if I were to really say, hey, I want to be a disciple of Jesus, man. That means I have to follow Jesus' footsteps. I have to follow his ways. If Jesus is a disciple, then hey, what is Jesus is a disciple? If Jesus is a missionary, then I am pursuing that. Would you all agree? That's basically the name of a disciple. It's just to follow the teacher. Yeah? And the thing about, you know, a lot of times, even when we pray, you know, how many of y'all want to have a heart like Jesus or be so Christ-like kind of? Well, not many. Hey, really, I'm quite scary already. No, how many of you really want to have a heart like Jesus? There is a secret of obtaining it. Go to the missions. Go to the missions. If you want to be a disciple, follow Jesus. Be a missionary. If you want to have a heart like Jesus, go to the missions. You'll be wondering, why am I saying that? Okay. Before just now, I read chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. I want to take you to chapter 9, verse 35. It says there, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. Say the word, went throughout. Teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It says that Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he has compassion. He has compassion, right? Now, how did Jesus got his compassion? When he went throughout the cities and villages, then he saw these people all being harassed and helpless. Amen? Isn't that what the scripture says? So what does that imply to you? What does that imply to you? What does that imply? It means that, hey, if I want to have compassion, I have to go out. I have to leave my comfort. I have to leave a place of familiarity. I have to leave convenience. You know, a lot of us know, sometimes when we come to prayer group, then we pray for people, hey, pray for me for compassion. Compassion for the lost, compassion. Sometimes I feel like telling them, stop praying. Just go out. Really? Because that's how Jesus goes through. He went throughout the cities and villages to have compassion. So if you are a disciple, you want to follow Jesus, Jesus is a missionary, then you pursue that missionary call. If you are a disciple and you want to follow Jesus and you want to have the heart like Jesus, very simple, go to the missions. Hokkien says, you have to go to the missions. Then your heart will change. The best way to have your heart being turned around and to be changed is go to the mission field. And it is true. Many times when we take teams out there, we take people out there, you know, in Singapore we have this culture like, I can do it. I have better skills. I have all the devices, equipments. Then when you go out there, and then after that, when you come back, it says, wow, God, wow, I'm so blessed when going through this trip. I remember there was this trip that I went in 1995. I went to Sulawesi. You know, y'all know where is that? Sulawesi, extreme of east of Indonesia. I went to Manado. And I was actually the team leader. We worked with YWAM then. And then we went to this church. And of course, I brought our church people there. And of course, they asked us, oh, so they have this thought, oh, so you guys missionaries. Yeah, okay, we wear it nicely. And on Sunday, they wear their best, you know, when they go to church. So after my preaching and sharing that kind of thing, then the pastor came up and says, that brothers and sisters, this, our friends here from Singapore, all the way from Singapore, they're from missionaries. Wow, the way he described us, like we are super poor, even poorer than them. I was sitting on the seat. Now we are going to take a collection for them. Wow, I feel it. I was like, oh, because I saw all those people coming somewhere, like, wow, really very poor people. So, of course, you know, that kind of Singapore spirit, you know, in me, I say, wow, how can take money from the poor? Can y'all take money from the poor now? Very difficult, right? Yeah. So I So after that, when they gave us the envelope, we went to behind the van. So I started to count the money with two other sisters. So while counting, you know, I can see some of the money they really squeezed. No, even the you know, Indonesian money, the value is very, you know, little, right? So they squeeze and it's blackish, brownish. Then you got to open that kind of thing, you know. And in my mind, I was just complaining. I said, God, these people are already so poor. The amount they give us, it's not that we don't have. Well, after that trip, some of us still going to don't know what hotels and stay for vacation, you know, go spas and all this sort of thing. And they give us things like this, you know. And so feel so uncomfortable. And then God spoke to me. Very simple word. Dick, you are very proud. Wow. While counting the money, I wept. Even now, I feel it. Yeah. That's why I'm turning my side. Yeah. Yeah, but really, if you want God to change your heart, go to the mission field. That's my experience. Yeah. You will be very humbled by the humblest people. Yeah. So, if you want to be a disciple, follow Jesus, go to the missions. If you want your heart change, go to the missions. It will definitely change. If you have a complaining spirit, go to the mission field. You will come back, you will kiss the MRT train. Really? Yeah. You know, there's this story about Mother Teresa. When she was very old, very sickly, as long as the little strength she had, she would go out to the worst and the slum, so-called slummers of the worst slum areas in Calcutta. She would still grab the leprosy kids or whoever, clean their sores, love them, kiss them, hold them. Even when she was really weak, sickly. So a lot of her friends would come, you know, and even the priest from Italy would come and say, wow, Mother Teresa, you already did so much. It's about time you go back home. Go back home and probably die in Italy. Go back home to the nice hospital and die. Die there, you know, that kind of thing. You know what she said? Not. Wow. Amazing woman. You know what she said? She said this. I have to go out. She said, because Jesus is there. If you want to be with Jesus, you have to be out there with the sick. You have to be out there with those who have leprosy. Because Jesus is there. If you want to find where Jesus is, he's always in the midst of these people. If you don't want to follow Jesus, then brother and sister, stay back here. Enjoy the aircon of this place. I'm not saying it's bad to have aircon. If you don't need to, if you just don't want to be with Jesus, be where you are. This is a very safe place. But if you want to be Jesus, that's where you got to be. There's no two way out. You know, this is what makes, this is, to me, this is the difference between being a disciple and the multitudes. The disciples will take the narrow gate. And you will do things that people will think that you're so why are you so stupid? Go and do such things. Like, wow, after graduation, wow, why are you going to the mission field? Wow, then your parents will cry over you. Well, wasted all my money. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah? People won't understand you. But I tell you, brothers, sisters, a lot of people don't understand Jesus when he was on earth. So you want to identify yourself with Jesus or not? If you want to identify yourself with Jesus, you've got to be radical. Take a moment to think about it, yeah? That's why the word, the missions, it is, you know, sometimes people take it too lightly. But it's a lot of preparation as in terms of the discipleship foundation. You know, and even when I talk about missions, you know, some of you will think, wow, but Dick, I don't preach, you know. If you are an educator, you can be a missionary out in the field. Y'all know that, right? And in fact, if you're an educator, now there are a lot of places open up for you. Go there, you teach English. Like our CP team, we have to go there and teach English. And if you are NIE trained, wow, salivates. What is it? Wow. Because NIE, pretty cool in the training and the papers. Now, if you are a medical person, definitely even better. You can go to every places. So what I'm trying to say is this. When you are in school, do well. Get a good profession so that you can go out to the mission field. No problem. No one will ask you why you're there. So like for medical personnel, like Eusebio. Is Eusebio here or not? I don't see him. Woo! I love that brother. You know why? That brother goes to Timor to do medical stuff. You know? And you get to minister to the people. You get to even to pray for them. You know, we have missionary, Patricia Kong. She was a nurse. She was a missionary in Yemen. She passed away. Yeah, she passed away several years ago. But amazing, you listen to her story. She was a nurse. And she would say how, you know, the terrorists would plant bombs and things like this, you know, and how she would lead the Yemen, you know, right, Muslim nations, and how she bring them to the Lord, and how they, in the rooms, you know, they will study the Word of God, and how she can be there. I cannot go there. The government, number one, they will kick me out. But because she's a nurse. Wow. How many nurses here? No nurses, huh? Okay. So, be nurses. And then, what about being an agriculturist? We have a brother in our church, yeah. He's actually an agriculturist, but I always call him a scientist. The reason is because he will show me photos how he, I don't know what he did, and then, wow, the tomato can be so big, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, wow, never seen such a tomato, looks like a pumpkin kind of stuff, yeah. And know what he did? No, I'm sharing this with you so that you won't have this tradition idea that all missions must be preaching the gospel. This brother, he goes quite a number of places in Indonesia. He's in his 60s, fit. He goes over there. He will start this agricultural plantations and things like this. And then all his supervisors are born again believers from Muslim faith, becoming Christians. And all the those whom he employed, they are, you know, some of them they will come to the Lord and then they will have their own house group fellowship meetings and things like that. Wow, when I hear things like this, it excites me. People like me want to go, the government will kick me out. But if you're an agriculturist, you can do. And then, of course, this good friend of mine, Jose Ricardo. You know, right? Jose Ricardo. Alex, you know, right? Jose Ricardo, right? You know, Jose Ricardo is a Brazilian guy. When he was in 2005, he was working as a lawyer in one of the HSBC in São Paulo, Brazil. The pastor one day came to him and says, Jose, in East Timor, the government needs a lawyer there. Apparently, there's no lawyer there. So I said, huh? So he went there to be a missionary, yeah? But his profession is a lawyer. And he starts writing laws for the government, especially for the manpower laws and things like this. And he writes in a way, sometimes he will talk to me, he writes in a way that you can see that it's flow out of his love for God. And he writes it out in a way to protect the poor. He writes in a way to protect the marginalized. You know, his law, the government takes his laws. Wow. To me, I say, wow, Jose, you are like changing the whole nation kind of thing, man. He has that status, you know, to do that. You know. If I were to go Timor, they would say, okay, 3 months up, you can leave the country. I can't do that. So if you want to be a lawyer, please go ahead. Yeah? Please go ahead. Be an agriculturist. Yeah? But everything you do, start thinking. Why I'm sharing this to you is because there are many of you young here, and you are still pursuing your studies. My challenge to you is pursue a study that you will see yourself being used by God in the mission field. Yeah? We don't say amen to that. Now it is 8 o'clock. Wow. Sorry. Now I got to go fast. Okay? So, having said that, a disciple of Jesus, so if you live a life of a disciple of Jesus, wherever you go, you are a missionary. If you are a lawyer, you live your life as a disciple, wherever you go, you are a missionary. Say, I am a missionary. I think a lot of y'all needs to say that. I am a missionary. And why? It's because you are a disciple. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. You know? And if let's say you're studying now, okay? And you're saying that, oh, but I'm still studying. Then I will tell you now, prepare yourself, okay, to be a missionary. Prepare yourself how? Pray. If you have money, save money. To what? To give to missions. Amen. Yeah. Don't save money, go and buy the new toys. I tell you, you go and buy iPhones. Now iPhone 1, iPhone 7, is it? Roy. 6, If you buy iPhone 6 now, next year come out iPhone 7. Right. Go and save money. Give to missions. Or save money to go for a mission trip. And some of you will think, oh, Church of Our Savior mission trip, nothing much. Let me show you this picture. This photo. This is a mission team. I think it's Wenli here. Wenli not here? Wenli not. I think this is from Wenli team. This is a hospital in Maliana. You see how bad the condition was? This was the old hospital. You see the drips that goes into his nose, that is actually the feeding. They don't even have the proper thing. They use that kind of a plastic bottle. And on his right is actually another bottle. But I'm a very bad photographer. It is a Coca-Cola plastic bottle for the water drips into his, into his veins. The youth mission team that went with me, we went there to pray with this guy. He was coma for 3 or 4 days. The next day I went there, I asked the doctor, oh, he's healed already, running around, went back to the mountains. Come on, clap, this is your youth team. Now, so if you think that, well, what can I do? There's a lot of things. And this is not just one of the incidents. There are many other incidents. It's just that I don't really take a lot of pictures. Yeah, okay. So, youth, your pastor is going to, next month or so, you're having your youth camp and things like this. There'll be mission trips for you. Go for it. Yeah, you can do great and mighty things for the Lord. And there's also a trip, Joycelyn here, Joycelyn, Andrew, all not here. Wow, how come? Not here. Oh, they all graduated earlier. Oh, that's the problem, you see. I don't come to youth. So there was one trip we went Bandung. I tell you, God just worked. It's a youth team. Okay, what we did was, we went to a Muslim village. It's not even a Christian church, Muslim village. We didn't even share the gospel. But the people are so helpless and harassed by the power of darkness, they came and asked us to pray. The first healing we got was one ear being opened. The woman couldn't hear, could hear. We had ear open, we had eye open. We had, I prayed for this leprosy woman. 2 days leprosy from head of top of the head right to the foot leprosy. Eczema, yeah, healed. And then there are at least 7 or 8 of these women who kind of limping to the house. After prayer, immediately they jump up and down praising God. And these are, mind you, these are Muslims. And in fact, the first healing when it happened, I was telling God. I couldn't believe. Because why? When I pray without faith. Why? Because, God, they are Muslims, no. Right. But God, I didn't tell them, have you got any sins? Have you got any forgiveness to do? No, we just pray. And God, that day spoke to me this very simple word. He just says that because he just want to heal. And sometimes when we come from a church kind of a box, church box, church box, you know what I mean, right? No, we will have, okay, step one, have you said your sinner's prayer? Had to. But I tell you, sometimes God just passes all this. God is sovereign. He wants to do what he wants to do. And this is, again, your youth team. You're excited, huh? Wonderful, man. That's why I enjoy taking the youth out. I hope maybe I can do one again. Yeah? So youth, don't think that you're young. Yeah? Joseph, Daniel, David, young. Once I was in Timor, this girl, a long story, yeah. Okay, now it's 12:10. Once I was in Timor, recently, only last year, I was invited to share in this, church planting with the missionaries there. So they have this team of 30 over. They call themselves church planters. And then the Pastor Sandy from VFC told me, "Hey, Dick, you see those few girls there?" So I look, wow, they are so young, like 12 years, 13 years, so 14. And you know what she told me? She said, these are our church planters. Wow. I said, wow, in my heart, I speaker, somehow I've never planted church. She's one of younger than me, all church planters. And the youngest in that group, she's only 12 years old. She's doing church planting in her schools. How many 12 years old here? 13 years old, 14 years old. Come on, let me see. Come on, don't be shy. Wow, you can be a church planter, no? Hello, you can be a church planter. Because it is not you. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. And this girl just, very simple. She just go to the school, tell people about Jesus. Go to the school, tell people about Jesus. Until the mother complained to the parents, says, "Hey, your girl, come to school not to study. Come to school and keep sharing about the gospel." But we told the mom, wow, that's a good problem. Praise the Lord. You know, so, nothing to do. Remember, Derek, last time, when we do the praying for the sick and the healings, you know, we always say this word, like, the Holy Spirit in me is the same size as the Holy Spirit in you. Same. It's the same one. Okay? All right? Going very fast now. Because, and for those, this one I gotta tell. How many of you are finishing school? Unis and things like that. Finishing, right? Brother, can I challenge you one thing? Give 1 year to the Lord before you work in the marketplace. Join the SMS. Now, why I say this is because these are a lot of people, they are so frightened, especially in Singapore. Yeah, they were so frightened that, oh, after I finish school, I must quickly get into the marketplace. Why? Because I'm already rushing. After, you know, well, I'm going to waste 1 more year, no. And especially, bro, your NS, right? NS, right? NS, it's wasted 2 years, now 1 more year. Wow, 3 years, sir. Right? Singaporeans, you are very good, you know, this, I tell you. You don't even need to tell them, they know. But I tell you, brother, if you go 1 year into the mission field, number one, what did I say earlier? Your heart, number one, will be changed. Now, I was in a position to hire and fire before I came out of the marketplace in 1998. If you have a degree paper, and someone also applied degree paper, but even your results is not so good, but if you to tell me that, oh, you are 1 year outside Singapore doing this and that of humanitarian work, I will employ you. Instead of someone who may be even a president scholar. So far, no president scholar applied to my company. But example, yeah? The reason is why? Because I know if when I employ you, you can take toughness. You are a tough guy. I know that when I employ you, bro, you will have the initiative. Because when you're out there, you need a lot of initiative. Bro, I tell you, when I employ you, I know that you will have confidence to do the work that I will assign you to do. So the qualities that you have, a lot of people who fresh from school, they will not have. So it would be only wise of me to employ you. Amen, brother. How come you keep smiling, brother? I'm talking to you. Right now, bro, just wave your hand if you agree with me. Amen. So, Esther, we already got one SMS candidate. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it's so true, though. You will be a tough, you'll be tough. I can rely on you. I know you will have initiative, and I know you are a confident person. Amen. And down here, there are also parents, so I must also talk to the parents a bit. Otherwise, they feel so left out. Parents, all I can say is this. Release your children to the mission field. That's all I can tell you then. Huh? Or they go. Yeah. If you want to go family, even better still. Yeah, but really, because sometimes, you know, parents, they too, you know, sayang sayang too much, really. When you send your children out to the mission field, you will do more good than harm. Yeah? And I just want to quote to you one verse. It says in Psalms 107, verse 4 and 5. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. When God gives you children, they are like arrows in your quiver. And you shall shoot the arrows unto the enemy's field. The enemy's field will be like a target, and your arrows will be so sharp and straight if you release them to the mission field. It is like in God gives your children for, it's like the parable of the talent. It's like you are investing them. You know, you invest them into the, in the mission field. So my plea to you, parents, release your children. In fact, if I got no children now, but if I have a kid, I will start training my kid, Ray. In, you know, talk to him, train him, give him stories about the mission field. Yeah? So I've covered those who are in school, those going out of school, and parents. Can you say, I am a missionary? I am a missionary. Because I am a... Amen. And now we are going to watch a video. Very interesting video. Okay? Huh, y'all all hungry, right? I can hear. Huh?
In the beginning, God created man in His own image. He walked with man in the cool of Eden. But sin interrupted that union. So God created the missionary. God said, I need someone willing to say no to the status quo, no to the dream of wealth, leave their families to fly to a distant land, and learn a language they have never heard, ride in cramped buses on backs of camels, someone who would sleep anywhere, eat anything, bear the heat, and fight the freeze with a smile on their face, just to take the gospel to a people not their own. So God created the missionary. God said, because the harvest is plentiful, I need someone ready to sow the seed, to plow the ground, water the seed, and reap the harvest which is ripe. Someone to go and train, to multiply the crops, and to answer the call and pay the price. So God created the missionary. God said, I need someone who is a radical servant of all, taking the lowliest job, washing the feet of the poor, caring for the sick, and cleaning their wounds. I need someone to visit the prisoner, care for the widow and the orphan, to sit in the dust with a child and tell them that they are loved. So God made a missionary. God said He needed someone who would believe that blind eyes could see and lame feet could walk and that the dead could live again. Someone who would pray long hours and intercede through the night with wordless groans of petition so that one soul might be saved. God said, I need someone honest and brave, full of grace, mercy, and compassion, free from fear and passivity, walking in true identity. Someone burning with love and girded with truth. Someone who radiantly reflects God's glory. So God made a missionary. God said, I need someone who would say yes before they were asked. Someone who would go to distant islands, barren deserts, inner cities, closed nations, next door neighbors, and prestigious universities to reach the unreached. Who would hike any mountain and endure any obstacle? Because how will they believe in Him of whom they have never heard? How will they hear unless someone preaches? And how will they preach unless they are sent? So God made the missionary.
Now, shall we right now just bow our heads? You know, it is so easy right now, you know, with your heads bowed. You know, it is so easy that even right now, let's make a decision kind of thing. But that's not what we want to do. Because I think following Jesus is more than just an emotional thing. To follow Jesus is really 100% commitment. To be called as a missionary. A missionary is a disciple in missions. In Luke 12, in Luke 14, 33, Jesus says, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." It is a very radical thing to turn away from the world and look at the cross. To turn away from the world and say, "Jesus, I will follow you." Tonight you got to decide which camp you want to be. You want to be at the camp where Jesus says, "These are my disciples. I'm sending you out." Or you want to be in the camp of the multitudes who say to Jesus, "Jesus, come and entertain us." My brothers and sisters, because you are still young, there, you know, you have that energy and you have that time to serve the Lord. Even now I tell you, to go 1 year to the mission field, it is nothing really. It's nothing. In fact, it's so short. 1 year is really very fast. But I'm telling you, if God would to touch your heart right now, especially those, you know, that you are ready, you have the time, you can go. And if you are not going to respond and says, "God, Dick is talking about going out just 1 year. I think I can do it. But now all these buts that comes in and it starts to, you know, cloud your mind. And then fear will come in. I can tell you that is not of the Lord. And I want to urge you this. You know, one of my mentors when I was in Youth with a Mission, he said this to me, "Dick, don't live your life in such a way that at the end of your, when you are old, when you're on a rocking chair, or when you're lying down on your deathbed, then you say, I should have responded to that. I should have responded to just go forth, just go out." What is 1 year? What is 1 year? Compare 1 year and the eternity that God is going to give you. I won't even use the word fraction. My brothers and sisters, my heart is just this. No, I love you, young people. I love you. And my heart goes up for you. And I don't want you to, you know, when you're old, one day when you're old and says, "I should listen to that brother who said, who challenged us to go to the mission field." Don't live your life with that regret. Because when time passes, it will not return again. You can't unwind the clock. And even no matter how young if you are, if you have fixed your mind to do that, then get it right. I remember in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, how Paul exhort the young Timothy and says, you know, be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Don't entangle yourself with civilian pursuits. The question is, are you a disciple? Are you going to the disciple camp, or you're in the camp of the multitudes? So tonight, you know, this decision is something is between you and God. It's not going to be something emotional, because what I shared, it's not emotional. It is facts. And the fact is that you are a disciple of Christ. If you want to follow Jesus, you are a disciple of Christ. And if I am a disciple of Christ, Jesus, wherever you go, I go. Jesus, whatever I see you do, I'll do. Jesus, whatever you say, I'll say. Jesus, wherever you put me, that's where I will be there. And when you live a life of disciple, whether here or abroad, you are going to be that missionary. Because Jesus will send you up. The simple word, Jesus will send disciples. Because there are too many multitudes there. Too many. But there are only a very few who are called disciples. What is God saying to you? I pray in my heart that you will not leave this place with regrets. Or at an old age, later age in life, you say, I should have taken that. Because as you grow older, it's the fact of life. When you get married, when you get children, then all these distractions come in. I'm not saying those are bad, but all I'm saying is that you have that responsibility for them. But now, because you are so young, you're still young, you can go, in fact, the field 1 year, 2 years, so what? You come back at age 30, you still can, you know, you can still work in a good company. But, don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. So you have to count the cost, you know. You have to count the cost. It's either you be radical for Jesus, to serve Him, and serve Him 100%. You want to love Him 100%. You want to obey Him 100%. Very quick, I'm just going to ask, how many of you who have put in your heart right now, I'm not saying tomorrow you will start going to be a missionary, but how many of you in your heart right now says, Dick, I am a disciple and I shall follow Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever, He's the same. And I tell you, brothers, sisters, His message remains the same. And that message is, my disciples, I want to send you out. How many of you would dare to take this and say, yes, a soldier, when every time the officer says, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. If Jesus can count on you, I want you to stand up right now. If Jesus can count on you, I want you to stand up now. Father God, we present to you tonight, Lord, these young men and women of God, who means business with you, Lord. They have chosen the narrow path. They have chosen the narrow gate. They have said to themselves, because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, I shall follow Him. And if Jesus have shown me the model as a missionary, I am a missionary. If Jesus says to me, I want your heart to be changed, I want you to go to the out to the missions, I will do that, Lord. God, I'm presenting to you, Lord, your men and women of God. These young men and women, Lord, I'm presenting you right now. Mark them, O God, I ask of you. Mark them.
Now I know you guys are ready to go, right? Yeah, it's getting late, but I just want to end off by saying this. I'm not going to give an altar call because actually I think last week you already responded. Right, Pastor Chris talked about being willing. And the thing that for you to take back home as you go is no excuse. Right? When you know that God is calling you, to be willing means that we don't give ourselves excuses. You know, I just remember my first mission trip. I have no money, no passport, never been out of the country before, but I just make my passport, you know, travel out, make my own money. Right? For the first time, I realized I can make a lot of money, right, within a short time. Yeah, and the key here is really that I went is because I was willing. So many things can be an excuse, but I didn't give myself an excuse. And for you guys, I just want you to know that actually we are providing everything for you. In the past, we don't have that many mission trips, but this year, right, we are trying to aim for 40 mission trips. 14 times 10, I think good enough for at least 50% of us to go. Right? Next year, we'll continue to go. So your response tonight is to make a commitment, right, in your heart to say that, God, I'm going to go. Right, not just go home, but you join us for our mission trips this year. For those of you who are graduating, that you seriously consider going out on your SMS. Okay? Ken? It's very, very practical steps. All right? So I'm just going to end off by praying for all of you. But as you leave this place, please don't go out, eat, and then forget whatever you have listened to. Okay, so very quickly, Lord, I just want to bless your children here. That it will not just be a response in their heart, but very simply, when they are dismissed from this place, they will not forget. And then when they go back, they will not give themselves any excuses, but they will just be so willing, oh God, to obey your call. So whatever it means, whether is it for the first timers to go on a trip, or even for those who are graduating to make a commitment for the SMS, or even for those of us who are deciding on our career choices, for our school choices, that they will do what is right. They will not pick the path just to earn a lot of money or what, you know, prestige they think they can, but they will pick the choices that will allow them to be in a place to serve you. So we thank you, God, and I trust that you'll be the one who will be helping them to carry through their commitment to God. So go in the name of Jesus, right? Do his will. Be a missionary wherever you go. Amen? Amen. Now before we go, can we just thank Pastor Dick, you know, for sharing his heart? Right, so I know time is late, and just ask that you quickly leave this auditorium so that we can allow our caretakers to clean up this place, alright? And I will see you next week at our convenience service.